Today we're going to step out of the book of Revelation, the series that we've been doing recently, and we're going to look at the real thing. Whenever we look at the real thing, we have to realize that the fake jewel is really not very valuable. It's an imposter. It's a phony. Companies will go to all extremes to try to convey that their product is the real thing. Companies will spend literally millions of dollars on ad campaigns so that people will realize that their product is the real thing. There's a company that makes sporting goods. They make tennis shoes and they make all sorts of sport clothing. And they have a slogan, just do it. That company is? Nike. That's correct. There's another company that says, do the do. That would be Mountain Dew. Okay, very good, very good. Be all that you can be. The United States Army. That's right. Don't leave home without it. American Express. What's in your wallet? Capital One. Okay, so you kind of get the idea of what the real thing actually is. And the imitation is always a cheap knockoff. It's a cheap phony. You can go to the dime store and buy a ring that looks just like he went to Jared's. But it's a cubic zirconia. It's made of glass. And in just a year or so, the brilliance will be gone. And it'll be chipped because it's an imitation. It's a phony. It's a fake. And see, many times we settle in life for the imitation when we ought to have the real thing. In the 16th chapter of Acts, there are three conversions. The first conversion is what I would call a simple conversion. It's the conversion of a lady by the name of Lydia. She was a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple cloth and purple clothing. And in that day, in that Eastern culture, purple was very royal. And so people of royalty would buy that purple material and that purple clothing. And so she was dealing with a lot of wealthy people. And so she herself was very wealthy. A simple conversion. There was also a very strange conversion, and that was the damsel that was demonic possessed. She was possessed by a demon, and her masters made lots of money from her telling different fortunes. And so there was a conversion there, and it was very strange, but that young lady, that young damsel came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then there was a very, very struggling conversion, and that was the Philippian jailer. As he was a very mean individual, he was a very mean man. He was good at his job, and it was his job to keep people in prison and to make their lives miserable. I would imagine that when he came home at night, his kids would watch out the window for when he was walking down the street so that they could go and hide because he was such a nasty man. And this man, there was what was good at his job. He was a jailer, and there was an earthquake, and he thought all of the prisoners were gone, and Paul and Silas were still there. And all the prisoners, and they said, hey, don't hurt yourself, because he was ready to fall on his sword. Don't hurt yourself. We're still all here. So he came running in, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And so it was a struggling conversion. Today, I'd like to have us look at that very first one, Lydia, because she's a female, and she had things that went on in her life, and the Lord dealt with her in a very special way. All three of them were converted, but they all had different results. They all had different means of working towards their families and reaching their families. They all had different manifestations of what God had done in their lives. I'd like to have us look today at Lydia, that simple conversion. And it's found in Acts chapter 16. And I'd ask us to please stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we look at the conversion of Lydia, beginning in verse 13. It says, "On the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was often to be made, and we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for this day that we can come and celebrate Mother's Day. A very special day that is set aside for us to thank the mothers that brought us into this world, to thank the way they nurtured us. And Father God, we are so thankful that you have given each one of us a very special mother. And so Father, we pray a special blessing into their lives. We pray today, Father, that we might not just use this as a special day and then go on about our lives as normal, Father, that we might be able to always remember what our mothers have done for us. So, Father God, help us to see today through your word how this special woman, how her life was changed, and how she had an impact in her family's life. And we thank you and praise you now for the message you're going to bring to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. The very first thing that I believe God wants us to see about this lady called Lydia is that he stilled her hands. He stilled her hands. Look at our main text once again at verse 13. It says, "And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was often made, and we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted there." He stilled her hands. Now, there was no display of fortune. There was no display of possessions. This evidently was a place where the women would kind of retreat by this riverside. It was a quiet spot, probably. And they would oftentimes meet there to discuss the Word of God. They would meet there to pray. And so Paul went there to talk to them. And the very first thing that we see is the problem that the Savior has. There is a problem that the Savior has in each one of our lives. Look with me in verse 12, which precedes our text. It says, "And from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." Now, Philippi was a very, very bustling area. It was at the crossroads. There was a road that went from the east to the west. there was a road that went from the north to the south, and there was an intersection right there in Philippi, so all of the people from the surrounding areas would bring all the things that they would sell, and they'd bring it into the city, and there were social gatherings, and there were a lot of people being busy doing the things that they needed to do in order to support their families. We, many times, are very busy doing the things that we need to do in order to support our families and to take care of all the things that life requires. We have children. And because we have children, they have needs, and so we have to see to their needs. And it doesn't matter if they're 6 weeks old or 6 months old or 6 years old or 16. Oh, don't you just love that age? 26 or 36, it really doesn't matter. They all have needs, and they require mama and daddy to take care of some of those needs, all those things that take place. My son, our son, just got done building his forever home. Just this side of Troy. It's a 5-bedroom, 5-bath. It gives you an idea of the size of his forever home. He was his own general contractor. This is the third house he's had built, so he knows a little bit about that kind of thing. So when it came time to do the electrical, guess who he spoke to? Me. And he says, "Dad, will you help me wire the house?" And I said, "You got that backwards, don't you? You're probably going to help me wire your house, aren't you?" And he said, "Yeah, probably." Now, when you buy electrical wire, you can buy it in 250-foot rolls, or you can buy it in 1,000-foot spools, and we put 5 spools into that house. That's over a mile of wire. Oh, he had to have special wiring, so when you walk down the stairs, the light turns on automatically. And when you walk this way, because of the motion, the light pops on automatically. Everything is special wiring, and it's not just turn the light switch on. Oh, no, if you turn it on over here, we want to be able to turn it off over there. Oh, my goodness. And each bathroom has to have its own little circuit. Now, each bedroom has to be on its own. He has 400-amp service. Oh, my goodness. Well, we got that done. And now our daughter and her husband has bought a house over in Shiloh. "Dad, will you help us remodel this house? We'd really like to have this wall gone. But it's got electrical in it." "Yeah, but you can take care of that, can't you?" Okay. Children take a lot of time. Not just in changing diapers, not just in sitting at the table helping them with their homework, not just helping them with their weddings, not just helping them raise their kids, but helping them in life. They take a lot of time. God had to still her hands. But not only do our children take a lot of time, our jobs take a lot of time. Our jobs require so much. It used to be that Ward Cleaver, he would go to church, go to work looking like this. And June, of course, was all dressed up working in the kitchen. So that Beaver Cleaver and his older brother, what was it? Wally. That's right. Would be able to have all the food and all the things that they needed in life. But nowadays, you have to have 2 incomes, so both mom and dad have to work in order to support the family. Oh my goodness, the jobs take a lot of time. And then, besides just the jobs, you have all the duties of the home, your own home. Yeah, you have to help your kids, you have to work at the job, but then you have to take care of the home. Oh, my goodness. We had a big tree at our place. It was killing out all the yard, so I talked to Dixie and said, you know, this thing needs to come down. And she said, okay. And so Roland, he came with his chainsaw, and of course I helped him by going, hey, you missed one right there. And we topped that tree, and it was a good thing we had the vehicles out of the driveway because it fell clean over the driveway. Just the top part of it had to have been, what, 90 foot tall? Pretty. There was a big tree. You couldn't even put your arms around it. Oh, my goodness. We cut it down, what, 4 weeks ago? Just got it cleaned up. It's taken that long. All the duties of the home. And there are things that have to be done, and then we want to recreate some. I went to a Blue Knight meeting yesterday and drove the pickup rather than riding the motorcycle. Why? Because I was so tired I didn't want to get the motorcycle out of the garage. Because if I was going to get it out of the garage, I had to move my pickup, move her car, and all that stuff. It's just easier to change shirt and put on a vest and go. There's so much going on in our lives, and there's so much going on in Lydia's life that he had to still her hands. He had to quiet her down. See, that's why a daily devotion is so important. Because all of the things that press in, all of the things that require our attention, when we have that time set aside to spend with God, He's able then to speak into our lives. God's able to work through His Word and be able to guide us so that we can walk the path that He's chosen for us. It's difficult when you've got children and when you've got a job and when you've got duties in the home and you've got things that are going on all the time. It's difficult to set aside a certain time. I find it's better for me in the mornings. Some people find it's better for them at the end of the day. I'd rather spend time with Him in the morning, because then if I don't, I find if I'm just doing it at night, I'm spending all my time asking Him to forgive me for all the things I did wrong. But if I spend time with Him in the morning, I'm asking Him to help me so that I don't do that wrong. That's the difference. Before all of the chaos of my life takes place, before I work at my children's homes and helping them out, before I take care of the things at home or the things here of the church, before any of those things, I have to spend time with God in order that I can maintain my sanity. He stilled her hands. And see, the problem that the Savior has, He can't get us quiet long enough to speak into our lives. It's difficult for Him because we are so busy all the time. But not only that, we need to see the preacher that she heard. Look at verse 14, please, of our main text. It says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God." See, she already worshiped God. "She heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Because God stilled her hands, He was able to speak into her heart. He was able to speak to her through a preacher. See, many times when you come to church, because of all the things that are going on in your life, you hear a man speaking and it sounds more like this: blah, 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 blah. Because of all the clutter. But when He stills your hands and your heart, when He brings a quietness to your spirit, then you can hear His still small voice. And you're able to hear what God is saying to you through His Word. That's the important thing that I believe that Lydia shows us, that she was a believer in God, but she was one that would hear what Paul had to say that day. Because God was wanting to do a work in her life so that he could do a work through her life. Now I want you to get this. See, many times we spend our time in prayer for others so that we can help them, so that we can benefit them, so that we can minister to them. But God can't work through you to reach them until God works in you. God has to work in you before he can work through you. And that's what he was doing here to Lydia. Secondly, I believe we need to see that he searched her heart. Look at verse 14 once again. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart, notice that, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. Whose heart the Lord opened. He opened in order to gaze into her heart. He gazed into her heart. And when he gazed into her heart, he saw something that moved his soul. He saw an emptiness that only he could fill. He saw a woundedness that nothing could help. He saw a hurt that never went away. He saw that hunger that money could not take care of, could not buy. He saw that satisfaction that went unanswered all the time. He saw a searching. Because she was at the river many times on the Sabbath, and they had worshiped God and they were praying, but they truly didn't know God. So that's why it says that the Lord opened her heart. Why? So that he could gaze into it. See, I believe that he opens up all of our hearts. I know being raised at home all those years, going to church 14 years, perfect attendance, I had a heart that was cold. I had a heart that was dark. I had a heart that was empty. I had a heart that was like stone. Even years after graduation, when I would marry and we'd have children, that old stony heart was still there. Oh, I'd go to church from time to time. And then when she comes home with her mascara run, I knew I had to go to church just to keep her in line. That's a good reason, amen? Just go and keep your wife in line so she doesn't go down there and bawl and snot all over the place. That's the only reason why I went to church. And God opened my heart. When he opened my heart, he gazed into my heart and he saw that old stony heart. He saw that dark heart. He saw that cold heart. He saw that emptiness. And see, that's what God saw when he opened her heart. Let me ask you something. What does God see when he gazes at your heart? Does he see a heart that's filled spiritually on a daily basis? A heart that's yearning for the things of God? Or does he see an emptiness, a darkness, a void? What does he see when he gazes into your heart? He gazed into her heart and saw that emptiness. Even though they were there and they often gathered by the riverside to worship God and to pray, they were going through the routine. They were accepting the imitation rather than having the real thing. What does God see when he looks at your heart? He gazed into her heart. But not only that, he opened her heart so his grace would go into her heart. He had grace for her heart. He opened her heart so that his grace might flow into her heart. See, God's grace is giving us something that we don't deserve. We don't deserve eternal life, but God is gracious and he gives us eternal life. And that's what his grace is. He poured his grace into her heart. And the Bible says she heard his words. Wow. I remember hearing God speak to me when I was at Open Door Baptist Church, when I went to keep her in line. God opened my heart and poured his grace into my heart. Oh, and I was too stubborn to go forward. I was too stubborn to go up there and do what she'd done before. No, I was standing there. I was holding on to that pew in front of me. My knuckles were white because I was gripping that pew for all I was worth. We went home that day, and it was a lovely message. I couldn't go to sleep that night. I kept hearing God's voice speaking into my empty heart. And his grace was being poured into my heart over and over and over again. Until finally, I got up and went into our bathroom and used the vanity as an altar. And there I prayed and received Christ as my Savior. I called the pastor the next day and told him what I'd done. And he says, well, when the next service we have, you need to come forward and tell that to the church. Well, I didn't want to do that. Boy, I was stiff-necked. I didn't want to do that. God poured his grace into my heart, giving me enough courage to do that. What does God see when he gazes into your heart? I believe that he wants to pour his grace into our hearts so that we don't have to settle for the imitation any longer. And we can have the real thing. Thirdly, he saved her household. Look with me at verse 15, please. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She was baptized and her household. Her household was saved from tragedy because of what God had done in her life. Her whole household was saved. Now, I don't know how long that took. I don't know what period of time elapsed from the time that she was saved till her household was saved. I don't know what time that was or how long it took. Could have been a day, could have been a couple days, could have been maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. Don't know exactly, but her whole household was saved. Why? Because of what God had done in her life. That's what took place. God saved her household the same way he saved her. And it was through her influence. See, her household was saved through her testimony. And her household was saved for a testimony so that they could tell everyone else what God had done in their lives. That tremendous day in my life when I gave my heart and life to Jesus was not the beginning of my spiritual journey. No. I was raised in church for 14 years. Went to church, had perfect attendance in church, and every morning my mother would make breakfast for us, and it didn't matter whether it was eggs and bacon, pancakes, or whether it was oatmeal. And you know what my mom would do to make it special? Oatmeal kind of, oatmeal's kind of, yeah. She'd put raisins in the bottom of the bowl and then put the oatmeal in, so we had to eat from the bottom of the bowl to get the raisins. That's just the way my mother was. But you know, every breakfast was the same, because she would sit at the head of the table. My father was gone. He was busy working on the job at that time. He'd leave at 2 o'clock in the morning. She would sit at the head of the table, and she'd open up her Bible, and she'd have the open windows. And she would read the daily devotion out of the open windows every single day. And she was speaking the Word of God into our lives so that years later, I would have the foundation to know God's love, so that when He spoke into my heart and poured His grace into my heart, I could receive Him as my personal Savior and Lord. That's what my mother did for me. That's the type of mother I had. I was a mess through high school. I would fight and get into so much trouble over and over and over again. I was one of the three original Over the Hill gang. The reason why they called us Over the Hill, because we all got caught smoking in school. And so the principal, brand new principal, had the idea, well, if we issue you a lunch pass, you can get off the premises and go smoke downtown. You had to go up over the hill to go downtown. So we were known as the Over the Hill gang. After we went, everybody else wanted lunch passes too, so they too could come. I would just lead everybody astray. That's why I started dating her. She was such a good girl. Didn't work. Praise the Lord, it didn't work. But my mama, she spoke the Word of God into my life every morning, building the foundation that God would use later on in my life to pour His grace into my heart, to where I could receive Him as my personal Savior and Lord. I ask you this morning, are you going to be like Lydia? Notice what she said, come into my house. If you have found me faithful, come into my house. In other words, she is saying, if you want to know God, come into my house. Because when you come into my house, you'll meet God. Wow, what a mother. What a leader of the family. We don't know what her husband did. We don't know if she had a husband, but we know her whole household was baptized because of her. If you want to know who God is, come into our homes. Our homes are the perfect picture of what God does. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a picture of heaven, not a picture of hell. I went to a meeting yesterday with the Blue Knights, and the lady that sat across the table from me was telling me that her sister was in town and had been in town for 3 hours and had raised up so much problem that it's going to take her 3 weeks to fix everything. I said, so she brings hell with her? I said that. She looked at me like, what? I said, so you've been telling me now for the last 10 minutes about your sister who's so bad, brings so many problems. That's what hell is all about. She goes, yep, I guess you'd say she brings hell with her. I was able to share the gospel and to plant some seeds yesterday because of what her sister does in her life. Are you able to say, come into my house if you want to meet God? Wouldn't it be great to have all of our families gathering together today, a special day like Mother's Day? And they not only gather together to celebrate Mother's Day, but they gather together and meet God in the home? Wouldn't that be great? Let me ask you a question. It took an earthquake to reach the Philippian jailer. It took a blinding light for the Apostle Paul to come to his senses. It took my wife and her running mascara to take me to church so that I would hear the gospel being presented once again and give my heart and life to Jesus. Because she was a loving mother and a loving wife. You're either going to settle for an imitation or you're going to have a transformation. Do you want the imitation or do you want the transformation? Because, see, today you need the real thing. Let's pray as our worship team comes. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, for women like Lydia. We thank you, Father, for women like Marilyn, my mother. We thank you for women like Kathy, my wife and the mother of our children. For each mother that is here, Father God, we thank you so much for each one. For the influence that they've had in their family's life. So, Father, today we pray that they might be rewarded, that they might sense your presence, your anointing in this place today, and that they might bring their families to the altar to simply pray and to thank you. So, Father God, we pray that we might all meet you in the homes, at the altars. And Father God, we thank you for each and every mother that's here, for every family that's represented. And so, Father God, we pray that you'll be glorified this day as we give ourselves to you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.